President Musharraf made a bold decision for his people and for peace when Pakistan chose to fight the terrorists. The American people appreciate your leadership, Mr. President.
You all know how important the area in and around Pakistan is.
The level of violence that has been brought by these insurgents has convinced the government of Pakistan and Pakistani people that their country is threatened and that this fight is their fight.
Good morning, Todd Zwillick here with you. Voices there from top U.S. officials over the years repeatedly reassuring you, the American public, that when it comes to our effort in Afghanistan, we have a friend in Pakistan. Well, maybe so, but not enough friends. Reporting revealed over the weekend begs the question, whose side is Pakistan really on? Yesterday, the whistleblower website WikiLeaks.org released more than 90,000 records of incidents and intel reports to show that Pakistan's spy agency, the ISI, is complicit in attacks against U.S. troops in Afghanistan. The website leaked that information to our partner, the New York Times, along with the German magazine Der Spiegel and The Guardian from the U.K. Joining us now are two of the reporters on that story. Jane Perlez is with the New York Times. She's the Pakistan correspondent, and so is Eric Schmidt. He's the terrorism correspondent at the Times. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Jane, I just asked you about a smoking gun. People have long suspected that the ISI had a hand in helping elements of the Taliban. What do these memos really reveal to you?
Well, I think one of the most interesting aspects of this is the former director of the ISI, Hamid Ghul, who ran the agency from 1987 to 89, when Pakistan was really on America's side and we were both fighting the Soviets in Afghanistan, has, it seems, and has been fairly much common knowledge, has been working ever since then, or certainly in the last 10 years, with the Taliban in Afghanistan to destabilize and unravel American interests there.
And he was supposed to be our key ally, or at least at one time he was.
He was indeed.
How did he flip?
Well, when the Mujahideen were sort of transformed themselves into the Taliban, Hamid Ghul seamlessly transformed himself into a friend of the Taliban and therefore no friend of the United States.
So, Jane, you and Eric and other reporters at the Times from these documents paint a picture of frustrated American soldiers, frustrated American command, anger directly at Pakistani forces who aren't cooperating, indeed sometimes helping the enemy. What kind of narrative does this paint for the public story of the war? Is this like the Pentagon Papers? What's really going on is not what we see on TV and read in the paper?
I think this is not the Pentagon Papers. These are very low-level, for the most part, low-level intelligence reports. These are not cables of senior generals to senior generals. I think they more clearly depict what we've known, that the war is going badly, but the war is going more badly than we had been told.
Eric Schmidt, the basis of the article comes from this huge cache of secret U.S. military files published by WikiLeaks.org. We've heard of them before. Listen here to the website's founder, Julian Assange, speaking to The Guardian, one of the other news outlets that has the story this morning.
In this case, it will show the true nature of this war. And then the public from Afghanistan and other nations can see what's really going on and take steps to address the problems.
So, Eric Schmidt, the Times apparently had this story for weeks or months, but went with it in print when it was clear that WikiLeaks was going to publish it. Do these reports have the level of attribution, the level of depth that normally would have led you to publish, do you think, or was it that WikiLeaks was going with it?
No, I think this is like any other source. This just has to be incredibly voluminous, as Jane has mentioned before. But these are credible field reports from intelligence analysts, field commanders, could be in their first accounts of firefights, meetings with insurgents, and as the ISI is indicated. And so you take these at face value, and then you put them all together and see what kind of picture they make. We then took them to very credible sources who, while they couldn't corroborate each individual incident, say they were generally consistent with other classified reporting that they had seen coming from the war. And this is particularly on the point of Pakistan and on the ISI's complicity with some of the militant groups.
Well, Eric, how credible is this argument from the White House that by releasing these documents, it puts American soldiers and NATO forces in danger?
Well, certainly the New York Times went through great care and great pains to go through the articles. And if, in fact, if you look at our The article's online this morning on our website. We've redacted many names out of these thousands of reports. We've redacted sources and methods, things that could jeopardize national security, things that could jeopardize the lives of informants or other Afghans on the ground, for instance. I know this argument had some weight with the WikiLeaks people. They have withheld some 15,000 of these documents while they also redact some of these names. So I think while the White House's concern is a valid one, I think the New York Times and our partners in Britain and Germany took great care to take this into account in our publishing these documents.
And Jane, I want to go back to what's actually in the documents with you. What potentially one of the most devastating charges to me that I read in the story, you write that the ISI allegedly helped directly organize Taliban attacks, specifically one in 2006, a Taliban attack on U.S. forces in Maroof. It seems like a potentially explosive charge. Do we know if it's true, or is it one that's hard to verify like so many other claims in the WikiLeaks documents?
Well, in that particular case, we did figure out that an attack did take place in Maroof some little time afterwards, and that, in fact, the attack was quite devastating, as the Taliban commander had predicted in the reports, so devastating, in fact, that the Taliban had to withdraw. They didn't succeed, and they lost a lot of men.
And they lost.
So the actual event jived quite well with the report.
Eric Schmidt, the White House says there's nothing new here. We all knew this before, and in fact, this all came out before the president announced his new strategy in the surge in Afghanistan. Any evidence that the allegations of the ISI connections to the Taliban has changed since we had a new strategy?
I think what we've seen here is even greater detail that supports the suspicions that many American officials, many policymakers in the Obama administration, as well as Bush administration, and in the field have had about the ISI. So this continues to show, as of through December of 2009, that there appears to be some type of complicity but at some level with the ISI and some of these militant groups that are carrying out attacks in Afghanistan.
Eric Schmidt, terrorism correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, and Jane Perlez, Pakistan correspondent for The New York Times, both writing with other reporters about 92,000 pages of documents painting a mosaic of Pakistani intelligence direct involvement with the Afghanistan Taliban. Thank you both for joining us.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.